Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamitzia daf Mem Gimel, the last full daf of the third parak of Maseches Bamitzia. We are holding out the Mishnah on the top of daf Mem Gimel Amaral. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha LaShalom. Also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, they should return home safely. And also by Debbie and David Adelson, Lili Nishmas, their father Rabbi Solomon Adelson, Rav Shlomo Yehuda Aryeh Ben Harav Binyamin David Alav HaShalom, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to learn today is the Mishnah is going to talk about what responsibility different people have in money that is left in their care. If you give money to a chenveni, to a shulchani, to a balabayis, what happens if are they allowed to use that money? What happens if they do use the money? What happens if they lose the money? Are they responsible for that? The Gemara is going to have a discussion whether a shulchani is considered like a shoel or a shomer sachar, with obvious ramifications as far as his level of responsibility. Meaning, you see, chayiv in onsim that may happen to the money. Then the Mishnah toward the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about if the value of a pikadon changes after your sholeach yad bepikadon. So how much do you have to pay? Someone gave me a pikadon to watch, and instead of just watching it, I decided to take it for myself to use it, and then it goes up in value, it goes down in value. So do I pay what it was worth when it was given to me? Do I pay what it was worth at the time that I decided to use it? Do I pay what it's worth right now? So what exactly is do you have to pay when it comes to a pikadon? And we're going to have a similar discussion when it comes to a gzela. If a person steals something, and then the item that he stole changes in value. So does he pay the value, the current value, the initial value? So we're going to have a three-way machlokes tanoim. The Gemara is going to have four explanations of what the machlokes is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and then it's going to explore the third shita, which is the shita of Rabbi Akiva. And then the Gemara is just going to conclude by trying to figure out whether we paskin like Rabbi Akiva or Beis Hillel. Obviously, we're not going to paskin like Beis Shammai, but the question is, do we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, or do we paskin like Beis Hillel? So let's begin. Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, at the top, at the Mishnah. So the Mishnah discusses a pikadon that is money, a cash pikadon. So is the person who's charged with watching that pikadon allowed to use it? And what happens if he loses it? So if you give money to a shulchani, so he's always dealing with cash. He's a money changer. That's what he does for a living. So if you give him the money all bundled up, he's not allowed to use it. That's a sign. That's an indicator that this money is not to be touched, that you expect this money back in the condition that you're giving it to him in this bundle. So he's not allowed to use it. Lefichach, and since he's not allowed to use it, he's nothing more than a shomer chinam, and therefore if it gets lost, so grev aveda, he's pater from. So he's not going to be obligated to pay you back if it gets lost. Mutarin, however, if you give him the money untied, where it's not all bundled up and tied together, then yishtamish ben, then he is allowed to use it because he's a money changer. That's what money changers do. They move around money from one place to another, one person to another, and they'll pay you back when you come back, like a bank. Lefichach, and since he is allowed to use it, imavdu, if he loses the money, chayiv bachriyusan, he is obligated to pay it back, and certainly if he's actually already used it, and then he got lost, so then certainly he's going to be chayiv bachriyusan, because once he's actually used it, then for sure he's a shoel, right? Meaning the fact that he's allowed to use it at least elevates him beyond shomer chinam. We're going to see a discussion in the Gemara whether that elevates him immediately just to a shomer sachar or even to a shoel. Once he actually uses it, so then he's obviously takes on the status of a shoel. So that's all if you give to a money changer. Eitzel balabayis, what if you give money to a balabayis, a regular person, your next door neighbor, to watch your money for you? So then, bein tsrurin, bein mutarin, lo yishtamish behen. Whatever condition you give him the money in, whether it's all bundled up or whether it's all loose money, he's not allowed to use it. Rashi explains in Maseches Me'ilah and Daf Chaf Aleph, the fact that you didn't tie it up is because it's just not the derech of a balabayis to be porate money, to start spending it around and to move it around to different people. So you didn't think that you needed to put a siman on it. You asked someone to watch your money. You expected him to give you back that very same money. Since the balabais is not authorized to use that money at all, if that money gets lost, so he's not going to be responsible for it because he is a shomer chinam. What is the status of a storekeeper? So he's not a balabais, not just your next door neighbor, but he also doesn't deal with money. He sells whatever he sells, and he just happens to have a cash register. So does that have a din of a shulchani? Does that have a din of a balabais? That is the machlokas tanaim. The mayor holds the din of a balabais, where he, no matter, even if you give it to him mutarin, untied, he's still not allowed to use it, and therefore he's not going to be chayv bachriyusan, because he's nothing more than a shomer chinam. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if you give it to him untied, he's like a shulchani, that he is allowed to use it, and therefore he's going to be chayv ba'achriyusan if something happens to it, if it gets lost. So says Gemara, mishum detzurun lo yishtamish ben, why is it that money that's bundled up, that's the sign that he's not allowed to use it? Meaning, if it's untied, he's allowed to use it, because everyone knows that a shulchani is always in need of money, he's always moving cash around. So by tzurun also, why shouldn't he be allowed to use it? I mean, isn't that a normal thing that everybody does, that they bundle up their money, they put it in a money clip or something like that, or a rubber band, I don't know, whatever it is, they always have their money bundled up. So how is that a sign, the fact that it's true? And you're giving to a money changer, you understand he's going to change money, that's what he does with money. So Amar Abasi, Amar Rav Yehuda, Betzurin v'chasumin, that tzurin over here doesn't just mean tzurin, it means betzurin v'chasumin shanu, that it's closed off with a seal, that you do something extra to indicate that you don't want this tampered with, that you put a seal on it to show that you don't want it tampered with, and only then is the money changer not allowed to use it. Wow, okay, so now that we changed the definition of tzurin, that tzurin doesn't just mean bundled up, tzurin means tzurin v'chasumin, do we change the definition of mutarin also? Does mutarin now mean anything that's less than that? Meaning, what if it's tzurin and not chasumin? So is that necessarily going to be considered mutarin? So the Lecha Mishnah explains Beshitas HaRambam that mutarin means could be mutarin legamri, and therefore balabais, even if it's mutar legamri, meaning for sure, let's say it this way, when we say tzurin means tzurin v'chasumin, so for sure tzurin without chasumin is now in the category of mutarin, right? Meaning one level, one notch below is now mutarin. What about two notches below? What if it's mamish mutarin? So are all the rules going to be the same? Whether it's tzurin and not chasumin and mutarin, they're both going to have mutarin mamish. Are they all going to have the same rules? So the Lecha Mishnah learns b'shitas HaRambam. Yeah, they all have the same rules, and therefore, if you give to a balabais, even if it's mamish mutarin, the balabais is not allowed to use it. However, the Lecha Mishnah learns in the Tur in Choshem Mishpatz in Reish Sadi Beis. He reads the Tur that the Tur means that the Tur learns that there are three madregas over here. That if it's tzurin v'chasumin, so then even the shulchani is not allowed to use it. Even the money changer is not allowed to use it. If it's tzurin without chasumin, then the balabais is not allowed to use it. Then even when you give it to a balabais, he's not allowed to use it. But if it's mutarin legamri, it's just completely loose change that you're giving, then even a balabais is allowed to use it, because mutarin legamri is almost a counter indicator. It's an indicator that you really don't care about it being used, and even a balabais is allowed to use it. So it turns out the way the Lecha Mishnah understands is machlokas Rambam in the Tur. When you give to a balabais money that is mutarin legamri, do we assume that that balabais is allowed to use it and therefore going to be chayv bachri son or not? But anyway, that's answer number one. What is the story with tzurin? Why does tzurin indicate that he cannot use it? Because tzurin means tzurin v'chasumin. Rav Mari Amar b'kesher meshuna, that it's tzurin, but you did it in such a way that there's a simin on it, and that's meant to be an indicator that he's not allowed to use it. Ikada Amri, some say that Rav Mari was not responding to the question about why tzurin should make a difference, but rather that boy Rav Mari kesher meshuna mai, that he just raised the question, what would the din be if you tied it with the Kesher Mishuna, can the guy use it? So take it when he leaves it unresolved. He never was able to answer that question according to this Ikata Amri. And then we had said, but Mutarin Yishtamish Ben, if you give the money changer loose money, he is allowed to use it, and since he's allowed to use it, if he loses it, he's Chayv Bachriyusan. So Gemara discusses, Amar Rav Huna Vafilu Ne'ensu. Rav Huna says, Chayv Bachriyusan means even if an onus happens to the money, which is code word for saying he has a din of a shoel, right? When you say that a person is chayv and owns him, what you're saying is that he has a din of a shoel. So we're saying that even if a total onus happens, and he has never actually used it, it's just the fact that he has the right to use it, that gives him the din of a shoel, according to Rav Huna. He's going to be chayiv in onsim. So ask the Gemara, how can you say he's chayiv in onsim? The Mishnah specifically said, v'ha'avdu katani. The Mishnah said that you give this money changer money that is loose. So he's allowed to use it. And because he's allowed to use it, if it gets lost, he's chayiv bachriyusan. Why not tell me the bigger chiddush, that if it gets, if there's an onus that happens to it, he's chayiv bachriyusan? No, the implication of the Mishnah is he's chayiv for Gnev Vaveda, because he has a din of a Shomer Sachar, but not that he's chayiv on Onsim, he doesn't have a din of a Shoel. Kiddush answers the Gemara, no, when it says Avdu, it means Onsim. Kiddush Rabbah, and that's in accordance with what Rabbah says elsewhere, the Amar Rabbah. Rabbah says on a later Mishnah that also mentions something about Gnev Vaveda, that Nignavu sometimes means regular Gneva, but sometimes it means Ballistin Mezuyan. Nignavu sometimes means that it's armed bandits that took it from you, and which means that an onus happened. And avdu sometimes means just regular losing it, but sometimes means shatavas vinas biyam, that it sank in a boat that sank in the sea, which is an onus gamur. So we hear also, even though it uses the term avdu, it really means onus, and the guy has a din of a shoel, so he's chayiv in onsim. So that is Rav Huna's shita, that if someone gives a money changer loose money, so the second you give it to him, you have already indicated to him that he's allowed to use the money, and therefore he has a din of a shoel, and he's going to be chayiv and onsim. Rav Nachman Amar Nensu Lo. Rav Nachman says, no, he does not have a din of a shoel, he has a din of a shomer sachar. Now certainly once he actually uses it, he has a din of a shoel, but up until the time that he actually uses it, you gave him loose money, and you've therefore indicated to him that he may use it, so now he has a din of a shomer sachar. He's chayiv in Gnev Aveda, but he's going to be potter from onsim. So now the Gemara is going to challenge Rav Nachman. Amar Le Rava Le Rav Nachman. So Rava challenges Rav Nachman. Lidi Dach Da Amit Nen Tzulo. According to you, that he has a din of a shomer sachar and not a din of a shoel, and therefore he's not going to be chayiv on onsim. So the Paras Yosef is a little bothered by the chutzpah that Rava says to Rav Nachman. Lidi Dach. Rava is a Talmud of Rav Nachman. He should have said Lemar Da Amar, that you got to be sensitive to the language. There's a way you speak to a Rebbe, and there's a way you speak to a colleague. So how is he allowed to speak to his own Rebbe this way? So he says, whenever we have that question on something doesn't fit with something that Rava says, so we always just change it to Rabba, right? We say that it must have been. So the Paras Yosef says, maybe here too, maybe it should be Rabba, and it should not be Rava, based on the way that he's speaking to him. But then a little bakiyas, Paras Yosef says, but there is a Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem Tes where Abaye says to Rabba, Lididach Kasha, even though Abaye was a Talmud of Rabba. So apparently sometimes Talmidim did have a little chutzpah to their Rebbeim in the way that they or it's not considered chutzpah to say Lididach. Sometimes they did speak in second person and not always in third person. But the assumption is normally when speaking in Hebrew and Yiddish also for that matter, that when they speak to Talmid Chacham, they speak in third person. So in yeshivas they do that even when they speak in English. Rav Shach always thought it sounds silly in English because that's just not the way that people speak in English, meaning it's not a sign of respect in English. It's just not something that's used in English to speak in third person, but okay, so that's it's a carryover from the way that that we speak in Hebrew. So anyway, Rav says from Nachman Lidi Dach, according to your shita, Damrit Nansulo, that you say that the guy is putter from Onsim. So it sounds that he doesn't have a din of a shoel. So well, if he's not a shoel, he shouldn't be a shomer sachar either, because he's not getting paid for it. So what makes him a shomer sachar? I mean, you've given him loose money. He knows that he has the right to use it. If you hold that so long as he hasn't actually used it, he doesn't have a din of a shoel. So long as he hasn't actually used it, he shouldn't even have the responsibilities of a Shomer Sachar, because he's not getting paid. He's not getting any schar. So Rav Nachman says back to Rava, I'm molded to you that even though he does not become a shoel until he uses it, he still has a din of a Shomer Sachar. His level of responsibility is still elevated because he does get schar. Why? The whole venena. He gets hana'ah from the Bailim with the knowledge that he's able to use it. So Mahana Bahu Ana'ah di'i misrami le'izvina di'ispe ravcha zavn bu'ava alai Shomer Sachar. The fact that he knows that he has access to money, that a person's able to sleep a little better at night when he knows that he has access to money, should an opportunity come up, should a certain chov come up, whatever is going to come up, whatever, he looks at his calendar, he's like, oh no, April 15th is this week. And then, so it's good to know that there's some money in the bank before April 15th. So I'm married to an accountant, so he'll have that peace of mind. And that's also considered hana'ah. That he has, and therefore he's considered a Shomer Sachar at the outset before he's ever touched the money. So now Rav Nachman challenges Rav Huna, meaning the first challenge was on Rav Nachman. Again, we have a machlokas Rav Huna, Rav Nachman. What is the status of the money changer who's given loose money to watch? Rav Huna says he has a din of a Shoel, and Rav Nachman says he has a din of a Shomer Sachar. So Esrei Rav Nachman, Rav Huna, Rav Nachman challenges Rav Huna, you tell me that he has a din of a Shoel and he's chayiv even an onsim. Hamafkin Ma'os, we have a brayso that tells us that if you have a gizbar of Hegdish who takes some of the Hegdish money unwittingly, doesn't realize that it's Hegdish money, he thinks it's his own money, and he gives it as a pikadon etzel shulchani to a money changer, so im tzerurin, if the money is all bound up, lo yishtamish behen, then the shulchani is not allowed to use it, lefichach imhotzi, and therefore if the shulchani does use that money, shelo kedin, going against what he's allowed to do with it, so even though later on it becomes, we realize that the gizbar had made a mistake, and the money that he had given to the shulchani was Hegdish money, so the shulchani was being mol behegdish lo mol agizbar. The gizbar is not held responsible for me in the behegdish because he never gave the shulchani the right to use that money. So that's not the gizbar's meila, even though meila's done b'shogeg. Meila, when we talk about being mol, it means that it happened b'shogeg. But this wasn't even that. He wasn't b'shogeg using the money because he gave it to someone who we told you're not allowed to use it. So the gizbar did not violate meila. But if he gave the money loose money to the shulchani, so that's him telling the shulchani, go and use it to your heart's content. And therefore, yishtamish ben, since the shulchani is allowed to use it, lefichach imhotzi ma'alagizbar. And therefore, if the shulchani spent the money, used the money, and then they found out that it was hegdish money, so the gizbar actually becomes chayiv. He's chayiv a karban mi'ila, because it's as if he gave the gizbar rishus. It's as if the gizbar gave rishus to the shulchani to use it when he gave it to him untied, and therefore the shulchani is his shaliach to use that money. And there's another anomaly about Mi'ila, and not only is Mi'ila something that's only violated by Shogeg, Mi'ila is also violated with a Shliach L'dvar Aveira. Normally we say, Ein Shliach L'dvar Aveira, I ask you to go kill somebody for me, you're responsible for that, not me, I ask you to go, well, that might be an exception also, but I ask you to go do an Aveira for me, you're responsible for the Aveira, not me, even though I asked you to do it. But when it comes to Mi'ila, the Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin has a Gezeira Shava, where it derives from Truma, that yeshliach l'dvar avera. So here the gizbar b'shogeg took money of Hegdish, essentially told the shulchani, use it to your heart's content. I'm therefore making him a shliach to use it. So when he uses it, the gizbar is in violation of me'ila. But if you're going to tell me that when a shulchani has the rights to use the money, then even if an ones happens, he's responsible for it. Ma'ir yahotzi, afilu lo hotzi nami. Why does it say that he becomes chayiv as soon as he spends the money? Even if he didn't spend the money, there should be immediate me'ila, because as soon as you give it to him, it should be considered a halva'a. Meaning, if you hold that that the shulchani has a din of a shoel, what do we call that? A shoel on money. That's halva'a. That's a lova. So it has a din of a halva'a, and it goes, and therefore it's already left rishus hagdish. It's already in the rishus of the shulchani, and that's already, it's ki'ilu, it's already spent, right? Milvas lotzan. No, when you give a loan to somebody, they're supposed to go and spend it. So if I take Hekdish money and I loan it to somebody, I'm chayv right away in Mi'ila, right, for taking Hekdish money and loaning it to somebody. So the Gizmar should be chayv. Why do we say that it's only once the Shulchani spends it? It should be as soon as you give it to the guy, if you really hold that he has a din of a shoel. So Rav Huna answers, Amalei, Rav Huna says back to Rav Nachman, when the Brisa says that if the Shulchani spends it, then the Gizbar is chayv in Mi'ila, it doesn't mean that he actually spent it, even if he didn't spend it yet. Just the fact that you gave it to him as loose money that he's allowed to spend, it's already a violation of Mi'ila. But Vaidi the Tana Reisha Hotzi, since the Tana of the Reisha of the Brisa says Hotzi, that the Shulchani, that if you give it to him all tied up where he wasn't allowed to use it, so we mentioned that if he spends it, the Gizbar is not in violation of Mi'ila. Over there it has to say Hotzi, that even if he actually spent it, to teach me the Chiddush, that even if he actually spent it, the Gizbar is going to be Pater. So Tana Sefer Nami Hotzi, in order to parallel the Reisha, the Sefer also says Hotzi, but the Sefer doesn't have to be Hotzi. The Sefer could just be that you gave it to him, and that's enough. Okay, now we move on to the next Mishnah. What is the Chiyuv of someone who's Shaleach Yad B'Pikadon if the Pikadon changed in value from the time the person received the Pikadon to the time that he was Shaleach Yad? So, Shaleach Yad B'Pikadon, if someone uses a Pikadon improperly and the Pikadon gets damaged and its value changed between the time that he was Shaleach Yad and the time that he paid, that he's paying for his shlichus yad. So Beishami Yomrim Yilaka b'chaser b'yaser. Beishami is the most machmir on the shomer over here, that he's got to pay the higher of the two prices. Meaning, if it went down in value after he was shaleach yad b'pikadon, meaning the time of shlichus yad, the time that he chooses to use this pikadon, that's his shasak zela. That's his moment of stealing the pikadon. So if he was shaleach yad, so he stole it today, and it was worth X amount of dollars, and then by tomorrow when he comes to pay for it, it would have been worth less than that amount of money. So you pay at the time of the Shasak Zeh, the time of the Shlichus Yad, which is the higher amount. But if it went up in value and now it's worth more because of the Shlichus Yad, then you have to pay based on the current value, not based on the past value. That the Rashi points out, that's if the Pikadon is no longer here. But if the Pikadon is still around, just give it back in your potter. If your gozel matbeya and the matbeya becomes possible, becomes not legal tender anymore and it's not worth anything, or your gozel truma and it became tamei and therefore truma tamei has no value, that if it's not be'en, you would pay the money kishasak zela, but if they're be'en, even then you'd be able to give it back to the nigzal and say, harei shel chalef anecha, because it's hazak shein anikri, you'd be able to give him back the bikadon that he gave you. But anyway, Bishamai says the shomer gets the worst possible deal, that he's got to pay the higher of the two values. Beisila lomrim, kishasotzah. Beisila says something else. We'll have to see in the Gemara what he means by that. The Gemara is going to discuss what kishasotzah means. And Rabbi Kiva omer, kishasatvia, that it's based on the Shasa Tviya Ludin, which again means something else. We'll have to see what Rabbi Akiva means by that. So Rabbi Shammai is the only one that's very clear in the Mishnah what he means. The other two, we'll have to see what the other two Tanaim hold. So says Gemara, Amar Rabba. Rabbi says the following: Hayman de gozel chavisa de chamer mechaver. A person stole. Now we're not talking about shlichus yad. We're talking about old-fashioned stealing. Just you go and you steal a barrel of wine from someone else, and now the barrel of wine is no longer here. So meikara shav yezuza. At the time that you stole it, it was worth one zuz. Hashta shav yarba'a. Now that it's not here in the world anymore, and it's worth four zuz. So the gazan wants to pay for his stealing, so he needs to know how much to pay. Should he pay for its current value, or should he pay what it was worth, b'shas ha-gzela? So the halacha is, tavra o'shasya, how did it disappear? Why isn't this barrel of wine here anymore? If the gazlan broke it or drank it, so then mishalei marba, he pays dalet zuz, and we'll see why. He pays the current value. Itbar memela, but if it just broke on its own, he didn't go and break it, then mishalim zuza. Then he pays the one zuz that it was worth at the time that he stole it. So Rava explains why that would be the case. So my taima, what's the reason that if he broke it or he drank it, he pays arba zuz, whereas if it broke on its own, he only pays zuz echad. So given the Isa Hadra the Marbeina, since if the barrel were still here, you would just give it back as is. He shaited the kashasil the katavala kagazal mine. We view the moment that you broke it or that you drank it as if you are stealing at that moment. So you stole it again. Meaning here's someone who stole twice. He stole a barrel, and since that barrel, as he has it, is something that he could just give back when he goes and he drinks it or he breaks it, he's stealing again. So at the second moment of stealing, it was worth more. So you pay how much it was worth. Nevertheless, if it was worth less at the time that he broke it or stole it, he would pay kshas gzeila rishona. There's no way the gazlan is going to be able to benefit by doing a second act of stealing, right? Meaning if he stole it originally, it was worth 4 zuz, he would have to give back 4 zuz. But now by doing a second act of stealing, when now it's down and it's only worth 1 zuz, there's no way he saves himself 3 zuz, because then if he's got it in his house, why should I give this back? I might as well enjoy it, and then I'll save a few bucks. So that's what the Ritva says. Clearly, if it goes down in value, we'd still have to pay the 4 zuz, but that's not what we're focused on. We're focused on with the case where it goes up in value, where you have to pay the 4 zuz, and Rav explains, you have to pay the 4 zuz, because by drinking it, by breaking it, you're stealing again. Utnan, and then we have a Mishnah, Maseches Bava Kamma, Kol HaGazlanim Mishalmim Kshas HaGzeila, that all Gazlanim pay Kshas HaGzeila, what something was worth at the time that you stole it. And over here, there was a second Shas HaGzeila. So you pay for what it was worth at that second Shas HaGzeila. Itmar Memela, but if it just broke on its own, Mishalim Zuzah, then you only pay 1 zuz. My Taima, Hashtalo Avilav Lomidi, because right now you haven't done anything. It just broke. You didn't do anything. So you only had one act of Gzeila, and that was when it was worth 1 zuz. Amayko Mechayavadle, what did he do that was Mechayav him? He Shaita the Gazla, back to that original moment when he first stole it. He Shaita Zuzah, the Shavya. And at that moment that he originally stole it, it was worth exactly 1 zuz. Now, in terms of the reason why it is that there's a chiv when you break it or you drink it, there's a machlokas ktsos and nesivas. The ktsos understands in Simon Lamed Dalid that the chiv is midin mazik, because you're mazik v'chavis. But you can't be mechayiv him as a gazlan, because agonev menaganav is potter. Meaning, what do you mean a second gazela? He had already stolen it, so he's stealing it from someone who stole it, who happens to be himself, right? But he's stealing it again from the guy who stole it, which is himself. And agonev menaganav is potter. So must be that there are no dine gazela anymore. And the reason that he's chayiv, says the ktsos, is because he's mazik. So now he's chayiv as a mazik. But the point is that he did a new maisa by breaking it, by drinking it. He did a new maisa. And he's chayiv for that maisa of hezek. However, the nesiva says that gonev menaganav is potter is only when the second geneva didn't add anything to the original bailim. Meaning, it didn't change anything to klape the original bailim. But over here, when you break it or you drink the wine, you're kone b'shinoi, and now it's yotze from the rishus of the bailim lagamri. Meaning, it's an enhancement of the original gzela. Meaning, normally when I steal something and I still have it, so I can still give it back. So I stole it, but you know, I didn't steal it in the most extreme way. Now that I break it or that I've drunk it, so I've upgraded my gzela, or downgraded, however you want to call it. I've intensified my gzela. So if it became a greater gzela, then Gonev and Aganev is going to be chayiv, and therefore he could be chayiv on the gzela sachavis. So that's the shita of the nesiva. Simple reading of the Gemara sounds a little more like the nesivas, that it's a second, that it's a second gazela, that at the time you do that, right, because the lashon of the Gemara is hayi shaita the kashasli of the katavla la kagazal mine. According to the ktsos, it should have been kamazik, you know, that he was mazik, but it's considered kagazal mine. So you chayiv for that second gazela. So now the Gemara challenges Rabbah from our Mishnah. Tana, and it said in our Mishnah that if a person shleich al bikadon, beisil lomrim kishasal tzaa. So beisil says you pay what it was worth at the time of the Hotsa'ah. Hotsa'ah of what? What does that mean? So, my Kshas Hotsa'ah, what does Beis Hillel mean? If he means to say that after it changed value, it now disappeared from the world, and you pay what it was worth at the time that it disappeared from the world, what's the situation exactly? If it's now worth less money than it was worth originally, and you're only paying the lesser value, against Beis Shammai, who says that we always have to pay pay the higher of the two amounts. Well, Miikal Mandiyamar, is there anyone that holds that you would pay the current lower value and not the higher value of the Shasak Zela? Vatanan Kol Gzarim Shamik Shasak Zela. No, that's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah Baba Kama says that if you steal something and it goes down in value, you got to pay what it was worth at the time that you stole it. V'ibiyaser, so maybe we're talking about a case where you stole it, then it went up in value, and then you drank it or it broke, and we're saying that you pay the shot what it's worth at the time that you're motzi it mina olam, and not what it was worth at the time that you stole it. Well, haynu beishamai, that may be true, but that's the sheet of beishamai, meaning then beisilul is not really saying anything different than the beishamai. So what does shas hotza mean? Elu kshas hotza mi beis bailim. What beisilul means is you pay what the amount that pikadon was worth when you took it out of the beis bailim, which means the shasak zela, and we're talking about that it went up in value since then, and still. Whereas Beis Shammai is going to say, since it went up in value, you pay the value, the current value, the current elevated value. Beis Hillel disagrees and say, no, Kshas Hotzah, at the time that you took it from the Rishus of the original Bailim. Well, Lema Rabba Damar Beis Shammai. Wow, then it's going to turn out that Rabba, who says that you pay the elevated value, holds like Beis Shammai. I mean, this is the challenge to Rabba, right? Because Rabba is the one that said that Haiman Degazel Chaviz Dechamer Mechavrei Meikar Shavizuza Hashach Shavi Arba, that if you steal something and it was worth one zuz when you stole it, now it's worth four zuz, and then you drink it, and then you break it, you're chayv to pay four zuz. Well, that sounds Beis Shammai. That sounds like Beis Shammai, because Beis Hillel tells me that if I was Shaleach Yad B'Pikadon, and when I originally took it, it was worth one zuz, and now it's worth four zuz, I only pay the one zuz. So Rabba is saying like Beis Shammai. So Amalach Rabba, B'Yeser, Kuli Amalach Pligi. Rabba will tell you that if it went up in value, then there is no one that disagrees with Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel would completely agree that you pay the greater value of the current value. Ki Pligi B'Chaser. Where they disagree is if it went down in value. So that's what Beis Shammai says. Beis Shammai holds that when you're shaleach yad b'pikadon, and it's considered therefore as if you stole the pikadon, so you don't. Shlichus yad does not necessarily require that there's a decrease in value of the pikadon. From the moment you're shaleach yad, you're already a gazlan on the pikadon. V'ki chaser, and when it then went down in value afterwards, b'rishusa didei chaser, it was in the rishus of the shomer that it went down in value, because it was already yours from the moment you were Shaleach Yad, and therefore you pay what it was worth at the moment of Shaleach Yad. Beis Hillel holds, you're not really called the Shaleach Yad until it goes down in value. And therefore, Ki Chaser Bershusa Demari Chaser. And therefore, when it goes down in value, it was the original owner that was losing that value, and therefore you only have to pay its current lesser value. So whereas Beis Shammai says, you're always going to pay the higher amount of what it was worth at the time that you stole, that you got it, and or what it was worth at the time, at the current time, you're always going to pay the higher amount of those two things. Beis Hillel is going to say, not necessarily, that if it went down in value, you're only going to pay the current value. So Ella Hadam Rava, so says Mara, but wait, Rava said previously, back on Mamalfam Beis, Shlichus Yad Eina Tzricha Chisaron. But now we just said the whole Machlokas Besham Beis Hillel is whether Shlichus Yad Tzricha Chisaron Eina Tzricha Chisaron. And what did we just say? We just said Shlichus Yad Eina Tzricha Chisaron is the Shita of Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel holds Shlichus Yad Tzricha Chisaron. So when you go back to the sugi we learned in Daf Mem Aleph, where you have Rava saying that Shlichus Yad Eina Tzricha Chisaron, Leim Rava Damar Beis Shammai. So Rava is going like the Shita of Beis Shammai. So that can't be the Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Ella Hacham Mayaskina. No, the case in our mission is going Shetiltula Lahavi Ala Gozlos. You took this Pikadon just to move it so that you could use it as a step stool to reach something that's very high up, to reach birds that are high up in a nest. Ubishol Shalmidaska Mifugi. And the Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is what's the status of Shol Shalom Midas? You borrow without permission. Beis Shammai Savri Shol Shalom Midas Gazlan Havi. Beis Shammai says that you're a gazlan when you show Shlomi Das. So the second you moved it, you're already a gazlan. V'chi chaser. And therefore, when it went down in value, b'rishusa didei chaser, it went down in value in the rishus of the shomer, so you're going to have to pay the higher value of what it was worth at the time that you were show Shlomi Das. U'beis Hillel savri show Shlomi Das shoel havi. U'beis Hillel holds that show Shlomi Das is still just a regular shoel, and therefore it still belongs to the bailim. V'chi chaser b'rishusa demar chaser. And therefore, when it goes down in value, it goes down in value in the rishus of the original bialim. So I only have to pay him the newly decreased value. I don't have to pay him the original value. Ela hadam rava shol shamidas rabbanan. But wait, that's no good either, because we have a statement of Rava Mesechs Bava Basra where he takes a stand on Shalosh Lamidas, meaning we're uncomfortable saying that the Machlokes Beisham Beis Hillel is what is the status of Shalosh Lamidas, because there are Amoraim that take a stand on Shalosh Lamidas, and it's going to turn out that the Amoraim are going like Beishamai, and that shouldn't be. So if you're going to say the Machlokes Beishamai Beisil is what's the status of Shlichus Yad B'Kadon, whether it's Shlichus Chisaron, so then we have a problem, because we already had Rava saying like Beishamai, the Shlichus Yad B'Kadon is saying Shlichus Chisaron. So now we want to say, no, the Machlokes Beishamai Beisil is about Sholosh Lomidas. Well, we have the same problem, because Rava appears above Basra saying that Sholosh Lomidas has a din of a Gazlan, which is Lema Rava Domer Beishamai. Why, Rava is going like Beishamai? Ella, another possibility. There's a third possibility. Over here, we're talking about a pikadon of a behema that you were sholeach yad, and b'shevach shel gezela, the shevach of the behema, of the stolen behema, which are the gizos that grow, the shearings that grow in the behema, or the vlados that it has after you sholeach yad, that's the machlokes Beisham Beis Hillel. What's the status of after someone gives you an animal to watch, you sholeach b'yad on that animal, then it has babies and it grows a lot of wool. So that's what Beishamai is talking about b'chaser b'yeser, that which it was chaser, meaning the gizos that you were able to shear off of it, and that which it was yeser, the babies that it was able to produce, that it got impregnated and was able to produce, Beishamai savri shevach gezela dinigzalavi. All the gizos and the vlados belong to the original bialim, and you got to reimburse him for all of that. Probably some sort of a knas. That's what the Rishonim say, that either it's because shinui and ukona, or because we make a knas on the gazlan that you got to pay for all the later gizos and vlados that happen. And Beisil holds no. All those shevach goes to the gazlan. And what they're really arguing about is a machlokas tanai. The tanya gozel is harachel gzaz of yolda mishalim osaves gizoseves for the said of Rav Meir. Rabbi Domer gzele chazeres beinaha, that if you steal a sheep and then your gozes it and it has babies, so you pay the sheep back and the gizos and the vlados, according to Rav Meir, it all goes back to the original owner. As Rabbi Yehuda says, no, just give back the sheep, and whatever produced in the interim, you get to keep. So that's the same machlokas Beisham Beis Hillel. And Dekanami, it's Meduik in the Mishnah, but that's what it's talking about. It's talking about gizos and vlados. Dekatani Beisham Yomri Yulaka Bechasar Yeser Beis Hillel Omrim Kishas Otsa'a. And it doesn't say, why doesn't Beisham Beis say Yulaka Bezulu V'yoker? Why doesn't Beisham Beis say Yulaka Bezulu, that it goes up or down in value? What's chesser v'yeser? Chesser v'yeser means it's missing something or it gained something new. That doesn't sound like a change in value. That sounds like something physically grew on it. So yeah, because that's what it's talking about. Shema mina, we're talking about something physically grew on it. A giza, a vlad. Rabbi Akiva amr k'shas ha-tviya. Then we had the third shita of Rabbi Akiva, that you pay based on the shas ha-tviya. So amr b'dam shmuel halach Rabbi Akiva. We pass on like Rabbi Akiva. Mod Rabbi Akiva b'makom sheyesh edim. And we... Rabbi Kiva's moda, that if there are eidim that can testify how much it was worth at the time that you stole it, and they saw that he stole it, then you pay kishas ha-gzela. My taima, what's the basis for Rabbi Akiva that you pay kishas ha-tviya? Because the pasuk says by hashavas gzela la'asher hu lo yitnenu biyom ashmaso, that you pay the gzela based on what it was worth biyom ashmaso, on the day that you became chayiv to pay it. So if the tovea bedid and he's moda that day was the zman of that day becomes the zman chiyuv. But v'kivin diyikei edim ahu shaitu hu dechayv le'ashma. But once there are edim as to when he stole it and what it was worth on the day that he stole it, that's biyom ashmaso. So you're going to pay at the shas ha-gzela if you have edim to it. But Rabbi Kiva says if you don't have edim, then it's kishas ha-tviya. Then you pay whatever it's worth on the day that he makes the claim against the other fellow. Amr le'Rav Shaya le'Rav Yehuda, Rabbi Ata Omer Kane. Do you say that Rabbi Kiva is moda in a case where Edom will testify what it was worth b'shas gzeila? Hachem Ravasi Yom Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yasi Yom Rabbi Yochanan told us differently that Cholokai Rabbi Kiva afil b'makom sheyesh Edom. The Rabbi Kiva would say you pay k'shas atviyah even if there are Edom. My time, Adamer Kral Asher Hu Lo Yitnenu Biyom Ashma So Ubedina Hu Dekam Echayvi Le Ashma. What do you mean Biyom Ashma So? Means when the Beis Din tells you that you're chayiv, not the day that you committed the crime. Beis Din are the ones that declare you as guilty. So when you are declared as guilty, that's what you're paying back. So do me a favor. When you go from Bavel to Yisrael, make a stop in Sulma Tzur, Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, and stop by the big Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, and see if he has a tradition whether Rabbi Yochanan paskens like Rabbi Akiva or not. So Rabbi Yaakov told him, Hachiyam Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Rabbi Akiva Liolam, that the Halach is always like Rabbi Akiva. Says, my Liolam, what does he mean, that Halach? Just say Halach Rabbi Akiva. What's he adding with the word the Olam? So Ravashi Shalot Tomer Hani Miliecha Dalaka Edim Avalecha Dike Edim Lo. Dafka, this issue that you shouldn't think that the Halach is like Rabbi Akiva only if there are no Edim as to what it was worth on the day that he stole it. But if there are Edim, then he's going to pay what it was worth then. So it's telling you no Halach Rabbi Akiva even if there are Edim. The Inami or the word the Olam might be telling us another Halacha. Da Hadru Leduchta V'Itabra, that if you put the barrel back in its original location after you Shaleich Yad, and it broke, that you still pay k'shas hatviyah lafukim mid Rabbi Shmuel, and that's against Rabbi Shmuel, damar lo binan das bailin, because Rabbi Shmuel holds if you put it back, you've already returned it, so you've already returned the gzeila. You don't need das bailin to return a gzeila. So kamash milan de binan das bailin. So that's the chiddush, that you have not returned it because you never informed the bailin that you returned it, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. You're still going to be chayiv as a gazlan. Rava amar halacha kebeisilal, and even though we said a tradition from Rabbi Yochanan that halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, Rava says that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Rashi, the Rif, the Rashba, they all say, and therefore the halacha is like Beis Hillel, because Rava and Rabbi Yochanan pass like Rava, because Rava is the Basra'a, he is the leader of the Amoraim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Great day, everyone.